Good morning. It is always a blessing to be together. We want to thank each and every one of you for being together, for being with us this morning. We want to especially welcome those of you who are visiting with us, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been here before. You're our honored guest. It is a blessing to have you with us this morning, and we hope we can get to know you better in our time together this morning. This morning, we want to begin a series of lessons, as Brother Ruff mentioned earlier this morning, that focus in on the Lord's will for every group of His people, and that is for us to appoint elders. And in a world in which there are so many bad examples around us, and sometimes even among us, of what not to do and how not to approach the topic of leadership within God's people, we need to make sure that we are people who are committed to looking at what the Scriptures have to say about this vital subject. And I hope that each one of us will take this seriously. Lord willing, it'll be the next 4 weeks that we will be speaking and thinking together in the Scriptures about this topic. And I hope that each one of us will realize how important it is for us individually to be an active part in this process. It's so important as any group thinks about appointing leaders for themselves according to what God has written, that each one understand why this is being done, each one understand the ramifications, as if we do go through and appoint elders, what our responsibility is, what the responsibility of those men is, and ultimately that we are doing God's will. We don't come to an assembly like this, hopefully, to be spoon-fed and to be told what to believe, but that each one of us need to examine this question. What do the Scriptures say about elders? And as we go through, we'll also talk about what does Scripture say about those who are under those elders, and what are our responsibilities as a congregation if we are to appoint men over us. Let's begin this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 14. And the first thing I want us to think about together is something I'm sure we've already considered, but to emphasize from the Scripture, and that is the need for elders in any group of God's people. This is what the Lord envisioned when He designed and commissioned the church. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." And when Jesus did that, I'm sure He had in mind what He would later be revealed through the apostles and prophets, and that is that the church needs leaders. Every church needs leaders. And so, on the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas had traveled through what we may perhaps call the churches of Galatia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and Antioch and Pisidia, as they come back through these areas, it says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So we're not sure exactly the time frame. We can get some idea from the things in the book of Acts as to how long these churches had existed. But that Paul saw fit to go back through each of the churches that he had helped to establish and strengthen, and to appoint elders in each of those groups. And we see here, as we'll talk about later in the lesson, that prayer and fasting were connected with the disciples in these churches as they commit these men to the work that the Lord has given to them. And so we also read in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, as Paul writes to this evangelist who's been left on the island of Crete, and tells him one of the primary reasons that he has left him there and commissioned him is to do with this work of elders. Titus chapter 1, in verse 5, Paul writes, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." And then goes on to give the qualifications for those men. But let's notice in that verse is the idea is these churches were not completely into order when they did not have elders. And that's what Titus was to do, is to give these congregations what they needed to be an orderly group of God's people. And so he told Titus to appoint elders in every town, as Paul is directing him to do that. So we see that this is important for every congregation of God's people. to look to follow God's command to appoint elders. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, we find it is a command of the Lord, but it's also a command with a particular function. We've talked about this passage several times in our series on the church recently, and we'll look at it again this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. As we think about these gifts that the Lord gave to His church, that He gave to His people, there are five roles, perhaps four, depending on how your Bible translates it, in verse 11. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and then the shepherds and teachers. Some translations may say shepherd teachers, is the idea that the role of the shepherd is to teach the flock, to feed the flock. But either way your translation reads, the idea is these are roles that God ordained for a purpose. And that a congregation is not receiving its full purpose if it does not have each one of these roles within it. With the apostles and prophets, we've got those. We have what they have written, and so though they are dead, they still speak to us. That we have their writings, we have their teachings inspired by God so that we know what God's will is for us. With evangelists, we've had various evangelists that have worked with this group of people over the years. And it's a blessing when we fulfill God's will in finding men who can speak the word. Some of them might be full-time evangelists, and some of them may not be. They may be people who work secular jobs and are supported either partially or not at all to continue speaking the word of God. You don't have to be fully supported to be an evangelist, one who takes the good news of God into the world. But they're there for equipping the saints. But last of all, and I think in some ways, well, not necessarily most importantly, but another one of these roles is that we have these shepherds who are given for the purpose, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And you just look through this rest of this section, the type of things that are said, they're here to equip the saints. We're all trying to get to the mature manhood, which is the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a high calling we have in the Lord. That's God's vision for each group of His people. And He says that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro like by the waves, and that we would be built up together in love. This is God's goal for His people, and the way to get there is by having godly men who are appointed as overseers, as shepherds for that group of people, who can lead them when the waves of the sea of error are tossing high, when those winds of error are blowing, that there can be those who help us to attain to the stature of the fullness of Christ. And without those men, our congregation can function. We know that there are churches that functioned for some amount of time without elders in the Scriptures. That's why Titus and Timothy were told to go and appoint these men, as there were congregations that didn't have them. But that we will not be everything God wants us to be until we appoint men who are qualified men, who have the character that God desires, so that together we can build one another up to be as a group who God wants us to be in Christ. I hope that verses like this will stir us up and will really excite us at the prospect of the mission and the work that we have before us. It is a high calling that God has given us, and it is a calling that we can attain to. It is not out of our reach, but we have to do our part, each one of us, in seeing the need and in meeting the need. So let's think together first about what the scriptures say about the term that's used for elders. We'll touch on this briefly. I know we've touched on this in the past, but it's important for each one of us to understand this. Primarily because we live in a world where terminology is very confused. People use terms that the Bible uses in ways that the Bible doesn't use them. And sometimes we get to talking with people individually and we're talking about pastors. Some people are talking about bishops. Some people are talking about cardinals. Some people are talking about elders. And there are these young guys who come and knock on your door. And there's just a lot of confusion about what are we talking about biblically. And so let's look at what the scriptures say about this particular role. What we're going to see is we're going to divide this into three sections and see how these Bible words are used to describe the same person, the same role. First of all, we're going to talk about the word overseer. Sometimes it's translated in the King James as the word bishop, which come from the same Greek word, episkopos. Those of you who were at camp last week, don't correct me on my Greek pronunciation. I'm not much of a Greek scholar at this point. So the point is, this is the same Greek word that we have different English words for in our Bibles. And it's used in these scriptures. It's not the only times it's used, but to describe this role. Let's read a couple of these together. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul addresses the church at Philippi and says, it's to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. And so this is the word that's used here to describe this role that existed there in the church at Philippi. And it's this term that's used both in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus chapter 1 to say if one desires the work of an overseer or of a bishop is the idea. That is a good work that they desire to do. So this is the word that describes that. And the work that is described in that is one who oversees. That's kind of what makes up that Greek word, epi, like upon or on top of, and scope, seeing, is one who is in a position to look out among the flock, to understand what's going on, and then to help and to see. And you can think of a shepherd in that way, right? As an overseer, one who is looking to the needs of different ones. Among a particular group of God's people. Another one of the terms that's used is the term shepherd or pastor. This is one that's commonly, I think, misused in the world, that the term pastor is commonly applied to just evangelists or preachers. Say, oh, pastor so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, when biblically, that's a word that literally means shepherd. And that's used specifically for this role and not for the role of evangelist. It's different from what we just read about in Ephesians chapter 4 when it listed off the apostles and prophets and evangelists and then the shepherds here, which is the Greek word poimen, I believe. And it is the word that's used in Ephesians 4:11 when in the same verse he uses a different word to describe the evangelists that are given for the building up. And this is a word that's not often applied to this role outside of Ephesians 4, but we see this word used in its verb form, to shepherd the church of God that's among you, 1 Peter chapter 5, and to shepherd the flock in Acts 20 and verse 28. So those are some of the places that this word is used, again, describing the same role, the same person who is set over God's people to shepherd them. And finally, we have the term elder, which is also sometimes connected with the word presbytery. Some of your translations may have that word in 1 Timothy 4, or some of the translations translate it council of elders. But either way, that's the idea. It comes from the Greek word presbyteros. And that word is used a whole lot in the New Testament. It's used throughout the Gospels as well to describe the Jewish elders. When it says like the scribes and the elders came, it's that same word that's used. Of course, not describing what God is wanting here, in the sense of these men who have this godly character and are set over groups of God's people. But this is simply the word for one who is an older man who is over a group of people. So several of these passages we can talk about, that this is the term also used. In Titus chapter 1, for instance, that same passage talking about the qualities of these men is when he says that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And then that other Greek word, the first one we talked about, episkopos, is used in Titus chapter 1, verse 7. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach, and these other qualities. So what we're going to see is these different terms used for the same group. And I think the most helpful passage we can look at, we see all three used in the same context, is Acts chapter 20. So let's look together there. I'll just kind of tie these things together. And what we have here is Paul is wrapping up his third missionary journey and is coming back to Jerusalem. And as he passes by Asia, he doesn't want to spend a lot of time there, but he had already spent three and a half years at Ephesus and wants to meet with the elders of that congregation and encourage them. And so they meet up together at Miletus. And he has a lot of things to say to them. But let's look at all three of these Greek words that are used to describe this group of people. First, in verse 28, as he addresses these elders, he says, uses the word episkopos, or overseers, when he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So when he says he's made you overseers, or your translation might say made you bishops, is the idea that these are the men, these are the elders of that congregation, and they are made that by the Holy Spirit. Again in verse 28, this is again the verb form of this word, to shepherd or to care for. The English Standard Version renders it, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. Your translation might say to shepherd the church of God. But that's the idea that these are the shepherds who are taking care of and nurturing the flock that is among them. But backing up to the beginning of Paul's address, in verse 17, he uses this word for elder. As it says now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And then tells them that the Lord made you overseers and that you need to shepherd the church of God that is among you. So all three of these terms, all of these, we could use interchangeably and say, well, we want to appoint shepherds. We want to appoint bishops. We want overseers for this congregation or pastors. We need elders. Any of those things mean the same thing biblically. So let's, in our speaking and talking, let's try our best to use these words in the way that we see them used in the Bible. And that will help a lot in confusion. I'll say as a side note, I don't always, when I'm talking with people who use the word pastor in that way, try to launch into this discussion with them immediately and say, okay, well, we got to set the world right on this. I think there's discretion that we can use in that. But especially among ourselves and as we talk about the topic of elders, and maybe if we have an opportunity to talk with someone, do you realize the word you're using, pastor, biblically is not used, you know, for an evangelist or for, you know, a preacher, but is used for this role. But it's important for us to understand that these are different names for the same role that God desires. Let's think this morning about one particular aspect of the work of an elder. Lord willing, in our future lessons, we're going to talk more about their qualifications and more about the scope of their work and each of the roles that they are to play within a local group. But let's talk about one of the things that's also misunderstood a lot in the world. When we see church organization in the groups around us, or maybe talk with our friends or our family about the churches they're in, you see things kind of start to work into a hierarchy. I mean, the great example is the Catholic Church, where they've got the whole, you know, all the different levels and the bishops and the archbishops and the cardinals, and then, of course, the Pope at the top. But you've had this structure in which there are men who have taken authority over more than just a local group of God's people. And so I think it's important as we start this study to think about, when we are appointing elders and looking at the character of these men, we're looking to appoint men over a local group of God's people and nothing more. And it's very dangerous, unbiblical, and leads to all kinds of problems when we step outside of God's authority on this. So let's think about the role of the elder over local churches. In Acts 14, in verse 23, when we read this at the beginning of the lesson, note that he said, it's each congregation of God's people that needs to have these elders. He doesn't come back and say, oh, well, we'll just go to like Antioch and Pisidia. It's kind of the big city in that area. And we'll appoint some elders here, and they'll be over, you know, Antioch and Lystra and Derbe, and they can all just kind of work together. And some of our human thinking, we think, well, that'd be a good idea. You can be more united and all answer to the same group of men. And, well, you're going to run into a lot of bad problems with all these congregations with this set of elders, because you end up, if something goes wrong in this group of elders, it's going wrong for all these different local congregations. We see in the scriptures, outside of Christ, of course, being the head of all of his people and all the groups of his people, there's no more organization than that. There is simply elders in every congregation. And that's what we need to seek for in this group, is to appoint elders over this particular group who will work in this capacity. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, as we read earlier, that as he's there on the island of Crete, he wasn't to appoint elders over the entire island or over even a few churches, but specifically in every town, however many of them there may have been there in Crete, that Titus needed to make sure that each local assembly was equipped with these men of character who could lead each of those groups individually and be committed to the Word of God. And here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, as we talked about this verse just a moment ago, that he says that you are to work among in the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, referring specifically to the church there at Ephesus for these men. That note when he called for them back at the beginning is he called for the elders of the church to come to him. Referring to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and refers back to his time among them. And so he doesn't call for the elders of all of Asia or all of this group, but for the elders of this local congregation to come and gives them this exhortation. This is the particular flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And again, he uses, when he warns them in verse 29, he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, referring to that local group where there would be dangers that these elders had to watch out for. In 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2, we see, I think, maybe most clearly in this particular verse, that as he exhorts these elders, and Peter himself was an elder in a very good position to give them the instruction they needed, he says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 1, so I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, and goes on to give them what they are to do, but not to shepherd the whole flock of God in every place, but to shepherd the flock where they are. And by the way, this is kind of the idea where we get or the place where we get the idea for being a member of God's church among a local assembly, that certainly when we obey the gospel, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, we have a connection with Christ, whether or not we have a connection to a local group of God's people. And even if a local group kicks us out or denies us or whatever, that doesn't affect our connection with the Lord. But that the Lord wants there to be a flock, an identifiable group of people, for elders to shepherd. If the elders don't know which sheep are the sheep of this flock, it's going to be hard for them to do their job. And so that's one reason we talk in terms of, well, I'm going to place membership with this congregation. I'm going to go work with the church over here, that we're committed to a local group of God's people. One of the main benefits of that is the elders know which sheep is which, and that they know who they can care for and guide. It's important for us to think about that. What church are we committed to? A local group of God's people. That's what the Lord wants us to do so that his work can be done. So three times here, it's interesting, both in Acts and in Peter, it's that among you, among you, among you. That is what we need to have a sense of and a definition of if we are to have elders. And finally, as we talked about just a moment ago in Philippians 1:1, as he addressed the saints at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Again, he's addressing a specific group of people, and the overseers are over that congregation in the church at Philippi. So I hope that we can see that very clearly. This is the domain of the authority of an elder. It's only among a local group of God's people, nothing more, nothing less. We'll talk much more in detail about this as we go into our study, but let's think as we draw the lesson to a close for this morning about our responsibility in this process. First of all, we individually must study the scriptures for ourselves. We desperately need to understand what God's will is, not because that's what I've said from up here, or because it's what someone else has said from up here, but that we've looked at God's scriptures. And what I'm going to do this morning is something I don't usually do, but I want to exhort and challenge the congregation here to be reading together over these next few weeks the scriptures that have to do with elders, that we individually need to be talking about this with each other and studying this in the privacy of our own homes. This is not just a study that we're going to do for the next four Sunday mornings, but a study that hopefully we will be doing from house to house as we talk with one another, and as we are seeking to understand exactly what it is that the Lord wants. It's so easy for us in this area when we think about elders to think, well, I think it should. What has God said? And we need one another to bounce ideas off of. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Let's talk and get this conversation going among us as we seek to do the Lord's will, and let it be about the scriptures. If you get a chance, I want to encourage you to copy down. There are certainly, I won't call this a definitive list, but I tried to compile at least all of the main scriptures that have bearing on the work of elders, the appointing of elders. And I encourage you to write this down and to be studying these scriptures in your own time this week and over the next several weeks as we approach. Do your own word studies. If you need help with that, you can talk with me or the other men here. Dig into God's word on this, because it's so important for us to understand what God is looking for in these men. We may have our various ideas or preferences in that, but that's not what counts, brethren. What I might prefer is not necessarily what God is looking for. We need to know these qualifications. We need to know the work that we're asking these men to do as we approach this process. And the only way to do that is for you to crack open your Bible at home and to read what God has said, and then to apply it. And the second part of that that I want to encourage us to do is to know the men who might be appointed. It does us no good at all to study the scriptures backwards and forwards and be in our own home if then we say, okay, I have to know exactly what an elder should look like, and then realize, I don't really know if there's anyone here that fits that. It doesn't do us any good to know the qualifications if we don't know if a man is qualified or not. And that takes time. It takes time to get to know the character of someone. And it's so important that hopefully we've already been doing this as we're growing closer as a congregation, but especially now, as we're approaching the process again, as we're looking at doing this, to be getting together with one another. And if there are qualifications that you're reading about that you think, well, I know about it in this man and this man, but I'm not sure about this one over here, I don't know him as well in this area, to go and be getting to know these people. To be in one another's homes, as the early disciples were, and to be answering some of those questions for yourselves. This is what the scriptures say. Is this what I see in these men? And the way to do that is to ask and to observe. We need to be committed to knowing one another as best as we can. Certainly the Lord is ultimately the one who knows the hearts, but we can go a long way toward developing those relationships to where we can make godly judgments about, yes, this man meets the qualifications. From everything I can see, this is a man who has the character that God's looking for in the leaders of his flock. But it requires both of those things. You might know the men, and sometimes that's what we're tempted to do, because we know people, oh, they're my favorite, I'm really close with them, they need to be the one. Do they match what the scriptures say? And if we know what the scriptures say, do we know the men well enough to say, yes, this is one who would match the character of those elders? So both of those things together are vital. And the last thing I want to call us to do this morning is to pray. The scripture that we talked about at the very beginning of our lesson this morning is they appointed these men with prayer and fasting there in Acts chapter 14. And that we need to constantly be coming to the Lord to ask his guidance in this process. The Lord himself doesn't come down and say, all right, these are the ones that you need to pick individually. He gives us the character. He gives us the qualities these men need to possess, and then leaves it up to our human judgment. And that should scare us a little bit, I think. It scares me, certainly, as I think about this. But that we need to be praying for the Lord's guidance, praying for his wisdom by studying his word and by going to him in prayer, individually and collectively. Hoping over the next few weeks to get some times together where we can come together to pray specifically for this purpose, and really be focusing on seeking the Lord's will in this. Because it's not about what we want. It's about what the Lord wants for this congregation, and doing what would make him happy when we get through to the end of this process, that our goal and our aim is not just to, in some way, build up this congregation in our own eyes or our own mind, but to be the people that God wants us to be. That's our goal in all of this. This is where our study begins. I hope that you've been encouraged this morning to think about some of the aspects of elders, that we can talk in our terminology about that, understand the scope of that work at a local level. I want to extend the invitation this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2. At the end of chapter 2, as he is writing about Jesus' example of suffering, he uses two of those Greek words that are used to describe elders, but he talks about Jesus. At the end of 1 Peter 2, he says in verse 25, "For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Using two of those Greek words, the one for shepherd and the one for overseer. Then ultimately, for each one of us, at the most fundamental level, we have Christ as our overseer. Christ is our shepherd. Whether a local congregation has those individual shepherds yet or not, we are all accountable to the Lord, and he's the one keeping watch over us individually. But at the beginning of that verse, he says, writing to Christians, "For you were continually straying like sheep." And some of us may still be in that state this morning, that you realize you're like a sheep without a shepherd. That even as we're seeking to appoint leadership for this congregation, you need the leadership of the Lord in your life. And you're lacking a shepherd and an overseer for your soul that no one can do like Jesus. If you need to do that this morning and make him your shepherd, your overseer for the first time, or you realize that you've been under his care and you've wandered away from the flock, Jesus said he'll never kick us out, but the good shepherd allows the sheep sometimes, if they're stubborn, to go. And sometimes we need to come back and say, I've been far away from the good shepherd, and I need to make sure that I am right with him before I leave this morning. So if there's any way that we can help you to be right with the shepherd and overseer of your souls this morning, won't you come to the front and let that be made known while we stand and sing this song.